Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Our subject is diabetes and prediabetes. Our guest, Dr. Michael Murray, he's a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine, a versatile expert on many areas of natural health, author of numerous books. And now he's got a program called the Diabetes Reversal Solution, which is a program that you can access if you suffer from prediabetes or full-blown type 2 diabetes. Type 2, far more prevalent than type 1. Type 1, different story. Yes, there are nutritional issues related to type 1 diabetes, but you still need to take insulin. But you can virtually get off medication with certainty by following a concerted program of diet, supplementation, exercise, stress reduction. It's a lifestyle disease, as our guest pointed out in part one. So, Michael, what about specific nutrients? I think people are always looking for news they can use, and no, it's not a simple recipe. Just take these pills instead of your medications and your diabetes will melt away. You really have to do the other hard work about diet and exercise. But what are some of the nutrients that you favor for this?
Yeah, I think that the diet and lifestyle are absolutely the part of the foundation. But I also think that supplementation is also important. And sometimes it's fairly simple. Chromium, for example. Chromium is a mineral that is required for the proper action of insulin. So if you're low in chromium, which many Americans are, boy, you're going to have insulin resistance. Insulin is just not going to be able to do its job. And I've seen it, and I'm sure you've seen it, where you just simply have people – one of the things they're taking is either a multiple that has sufficient levels of chromium, or you're taking chromium as part of a formula, or chromium alone, and you're taking 400 to 600 micrograms of chromium a day. I've seen that in some cases completely cure people of their type 2 diabetes, because if you're low in chromium, insulin's not going to work very well. And if insulin doesn't work, that's when you have diabetes.
Is there a specific form of chromium? Because that's hotly debated. Some people say don't buy that cheap chromium chloride. It's chromium picolinate. Other people argue for chromium polynicotinate. Where do you land on that?
Well, I think you're kind of splitting hairs. Chromium polynicotinate is a good form. I think chromium picolinate is a good form. And I think yeast derived chromium is really an excellent form as well. I think all three of those are really good forms. Definitely stay away from the kind of the inorganic chromium like chromium chloride.
And what are some of the other top supplements that you can think of for this?
Well, magnesium, believe it or not. Low magnesium levels can lead to insulin resistance. And magnesium deficiency is an epidemic in North America. The average American consumes on a daily basis about 160 milligrams of magnesium. And the RDI in recommended dietary intake is 300 to 400 milligrams. So most people are only getting about half the magnesium that they need. And that's especially true in people with diabetes. So many people with type 2 diabetes are severely deficient in magnesium, and magnesium can help improve the action of insulin and can help contribute to lowering blood sugar levels. All the B vitamins play a critical role in blood sugar metabolism and the proper action of insulin. Vitamin C is critical. Other trace minerals like manganese and even copper. So we got to make sure that we have kind of the foundation established, making sure we're getting all the necessary building blocks of nutrition. High potency, multiple vitamin and mineral formula can go a long way in assuring that, because we need those essential nutrients to make sure that our enzyme systems and hormones like insulin work properly. So I think You know, taking a good high potency multiple vitamin and mineral formula is absolutely critical to proper blood sugar control. As far as specialty compounds, one of the best, I think, is a super fiber matrix called PGX. PGX is short for polyglycoplex. This is a mixture of three soluble fibers that are processed in a way where they actually coalesce to form a new molecule. It has over 20 scientific studies, including placebo-controlled studies, showing that PGX can reduce after-meal elevations in blood sugar, can help lower the glycemic index of any food or meal, and it can help insulin do its job better.
What does it do? Does it work on? Does it slow the uptake of the carbohydrate content or the caloric content of the meal, or does it work on the microbiome, or is it a mixture of effects?
It's a mixture of effects. Yes, it does slow down gastric emptying, giving your body a chance to process sugar that was consumed at that meal. It also has an effect in increasing the production and release of a hormone-like substance called GLP, GLP-1.
Satiety effect. In other words, it has a satiety effect.
Yeah, but GLP-1, in addition to having a satiety effect, it also enhances the action of insulin. Mm-hmm. And we have these cells throughout our gastrointestinal tract that produce GLP-1. They're called the L cells. And these cells, as the PGX works its way through the GI tract, it will cause the release of this GLP-1. And so I think that's probably it's one of its big effects in improving blood sugar control. And lastly, you mentioned the human microbiome. We know that the type of gut bacteria that a person has plays a big role in the sensitivity of cells to insulin. So, probiotics will probably be a big part of the treatment of type 2 diabetes in the future. You got to have the right type of gut bacteria if you want to be healthy, and that applies to every health condition, including diabetes.
And what about, by the way, this is not a generic supplement, you know, like fish oil or vitamin D. It's a specific company makes that. That's the company that you're involved with. Natural Factors.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you Google NTX Natural Factors, that's where you can obtain it, or at least get the heads up on that. What about botanicals? Because a lot of people favor Gymnema. Other people suggest you take bitter melon. Others suggest berberine. Are you on any of those, or do you favor the use of those?
Oh, yeah. There's many routes to nirvana. Believe it or not, metformin was actually initially isolated from a plant, goat's rue. And in a way, it's a botanical medicine. Berberine is very similar in action to metformin. Berberine is a yellow alkaloid that's found in golden seal, barberry, Oregon grape, and several other plants. And there have been 27 double-blind placebo-controlled studies with berberine in people that have diabetes, people who have high cholesterol, or people who have high blood pressure. In these studies, berberine was shown to be as effective as metformin in lowering blood sugar levels. It was shown to be as effective as low-dose statins in lowering blood cholesterol levels, and it was shown to be as effective as blood pressure-lowering drugs without side effect. If berberine was a drug, it would be the biggest drug in the history of medicine because it's able to lower blood pressure, lower blood cholesterol levels, and lower blood sugar levels. So this is a very safe and effective natural product. Typical dose is 500 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day. But there's so many choices. I mean, I love the research on mulberry leaf. Mulberry leaf, which was compared in a head-to-head study to glyburide, which is a type of type 2 medication, and the mulberry outperformed the drug. It had a better effect in improving blood sugar control. It had some effects that the drug didn't have in acting as an antioxidant, and it reduced markers of inflammation. So just fantastic natural approach.
By the way, I've never seen a diabetic silkworm, so it seems to that it holds true. That's what they eat all day long, so it seems to work for them.
We're gonna figure all this out, I think, about using food as medicine, and one of the ways to do that may be incorporating more of these compounds like those found in mulberry in foods. And they've done studies where they used, instead of wheat flour, they use mulberry leaf flour. And gosh, I mean, that was fantastic. Well, we don't have that luxury right now, but someday we will have, I think, dietary approaches that include kind of real functional foods. So right now we're better off taking some these compounds in supplemental form, like these compounds in mulberry leaf.
Excellent. Well, let's focus a little on diet. There's so much on diets for reversal of diabetes. There's controversy. There's the zone diet. Some people recommend the vegetarian diet. Others blood type, Atkins, paleo, ketogenic. Which do you favor?
I focus on a low glycemic load diet. That's the critical factor. Your listeners have probably heard of the glycemic index. The glycemic index tells us the impact of eating 50 grams of sugar from a particular food on blood sugar levels. The glycemic load tells us the impact of eating a serving of that food on blood sugar levels. And it's a more practical application of the research. And so we want to stay away from foods that quickly raise the blood sugar level. So you can have some complex carbohydrates or even a little sugar if the portion size is under control. You got to become familiarized with this glycemic load. I like to recommend that people who have type 2 diabetes eat a glycemic load that is less than 20 for any 2.5 to 3 hour period. To give you an idea of a point of reference, one cup of brown rice has a glycemic load of about 17. So you could have some additional vegetables and whatnot. While a cup of white rice has a glycemic load of 23, so you're going to have to cut that portion size down. Mm-hmm. You can have a potato. A medium-sized potato has a glycemic load of 15, but that pretty much does it for the next 3 hours. So as long as a person eats a low glycemic load, they can pretty much follow any other dietary program that they're kind of have an affinity for, whether it's the paleo diet or the zone diet or the Mediterranean diet, all these different diets out there. I will say that a study just came out a couple of weeks ago that looked at a high protein diet, mm-hmm. and they found that it wasn't so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it led to deterioration of blood sugar control. Mm-hmm. So we need good carbohydrates, but we got to eat them in moderation. And that's the thing. We need that little bit of sugar to help prime our physiology, to help bring blood sugar levels under control. A total low carb, high protein diet isn't the way to go, and we really try to help people with some basic principles of how to eat healthfully, so that they can improve their blood sugar control, improve their weight control, improve their appetite control. But it really focuses on eating good, high quality food, making the right choices, and sticking to that goal of no more than 20 for a glycemic load for any 3-hour period.
Mm-hmm. And let's briefly touch upon exercise. You mentioned walking as being very helpful for reversing type 2 diabetes. Can we get more specific? Is it more about strength training or is it a mix of strength training and aerobic exercise that seems to work best?
I think strength training is overlooked. I think aerobics has been overstressed. Your muscles are the primary furnace of your body, and you gotta move them, you gotta build them. They help insulin work better. So very important, I think, to engage in some sort of strength training exercise. Just get out there and move. Walking, moving is very very helpful. Just it's when you start looking at the data on it's called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and so what they found is that for example, people that are overweight sit, I think it's 3 hours more per day than someone of normal body weight. And we know that when people try to exercise to lose weight, it's really, really tough. But what's easier is to increase the non-exercise activity. And that's the real key to helping people lose weight. So it's standing, not sitting. It's moving as much as possible. It's walking. If you're going to the store, walking as far as you can. Don't drive around for 10 minutes looking for that perfect parking spot. Take advantage of movement every time you can. And that helps insulin work better. And exercise is a great deterrent, not only for diabetes, but for all other health conditions. If exercise was a drug, it'd be the best-selling drug of all time.
And as a final note, circling back to diet, a lot of people with diabetes avail themselves of non-sugar sweeteners in the belief that, hey, I gratify my sweet craving, it's a free ride, no calories. What's your take?
Whoa, what a softball question.
Yeah.
And you know the answer.
Yeah.
These artificial sweeteners are death to our metabolism. They actually increase the likelihood of developing obesity and developing type 2 diabetes. And there are a number of different mechanisms responsible. But yeah, stay away from the sucralose, the aspartame. Certainly the saccharin, there are natural sweeteners out there. The polyols are fine, like xylitol and erythritol. Stevia is great, Lohan-Go. The allulose is a new one. So there's a lot of natural sweeteners out there that I think are much better choices. And we got to get that. I mean, we're consuming 100 times more sugar on a daily basis than we did 200 years ago. Our physiology just isn't based upon this huge amount of sugar that we're eating as a nation.
Indeed. All right. So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? We got your book that you co-authored, Beat Diabetes Naturally, sort of an entry level way into this approach for rolling back blood sugar abnormality, but more specifically, more tailored, a very in-depth program, the Diabetes Reversal Solution. Tell us about that once again.
Yeah, people can go to my website, and to learn more about it, all they have to do is take a quiz to help them identify what their challenge is to control their blood sugar level. And that will get them into the system, and we detail what the program consists of, why they need to look into it, and we offer it there at just a rock bottom price, because we want to help people, and we want people to get those drugs and get on with life. If you have type 2 diabetes and you go the drug route, you just don't feel well. That's what the research shows. Your general sense of well-being is going to be less than if you really take charge of your health. So we help guide people in a way that will help them back to health.
All right. So once again, the website is drmurray, M-U-R-R-A-Y.com. And Michael, congratulations, because you know, you continue to find new ways to get the word out, now leveraging some of the latest technology to help people. So appreciate it very much, your sharing information about diabetes.
Well, I appreciate being on your show again. It's been a lot of years, and you're doing great work, and keep it up. And cheers to you, to all you do, Ron. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.